primarily about Elijah, but my favorite is coming up. We're going to talk about Elisha today, and he is such an awesome character. I'll tell you, I just love to read about him. And you know, folks, I'll tell you, you need to concentrate. There's two major portions in Kings, 1 Kings 4 and 2 Kings 17. And
1 Kings.
I got it turned around, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I love it so much, I got it turned around.
Yes,
you've
got
right?
it turned around.
All right, you say it right.
It's 1 Kings 17
right.
and 2 Kings 4.
That's what I said, wasn't
yes.
it? I didn't say that. I had it turned around. Okay, I need a miracle with my mouth.
Well, that's
and with my mirror and with my memory. But we're going to do this today. And Barb, before we jump into this teaching on Elisha, would you pray, please?
Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these mighty men and women of your word that we can look to for examples, even for today. I thank you, Father God, for Elijah, and I thank you for his protege, Elisha. And I thank you, Lord, that you work through men and women of like nature and like personality as we are. And I praise you, Lord, that our listeners are going to say, by the faith of God and in the name of Jesus, I can do these things. And in Father God, I thank you for building faith in our listeners today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, I like what you said in your prayer there, building faith in our listeners. And that's really why we're here, and that's to encourage you to get in the Word, and we push you all the time to get in the Word. It's our public agenda, our private agenda. Any way we can figure to get more of the Word of God in you, we'll do that. Because I believe one day we're going to stand as teachers, and in the New Testament it says that we're held at double accountability. And I don't want the Lord to be able to point his finger at us and say, now listen, you talk to people about convention and tradition and all kinds of things, but you didn't teach them the Word. The Lord's not going to be able to say that to us, Barb.
Yes, that's right. Well, in the last hour, we found out that Elijah went to be with the Lord in a whirlwind with the chariots of God surrounding him. He went out with a flash. And he was the focal point of that in that region at that time. And so Elisha was left alone. Now, I'm sure that they spent several years together, Elijah mentoring Elisha, because immediately after Elijah leaves this earth, then Elisha takes that mantle. He left his mantle, and he takes that mantle and divides the Jordan River and walks over on dry land. Immediately, he performs a miracle by the hands of God. So we see this man who was raised as a farmer, and we find in 1 Kings that he was a very strong man because he had 12 yoke of oxen in line in his farming. He was obedient and loyal to both Elijah and the law of God. He was a compassionate man who in turn ministered to Elijah while Elijah was on this earth. He fellowshipped with the prophets, and there were schools of prophets in Gilgal, in Bethel, in Jericho, where God was raising up prophets who were doing supernatural things and prophesying to this idolatrous nation. And he had a double anointing and carried Elijah's mantle with him. A double anointing, Darren. Some people strive or wish all their life they could have anointing of God, and this man wanted a double anointing.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because many people ask us about that, but I have to say this, the anointing is on the Word of God, mm-hmm. and if you want to be more anointed, get more of the Word of God inside of you. I would also like to say that I believe we have some listening that would love to be mentored by someone, an older person in the faith, and that's possible, but I think that the onus, so to speak, or the responsibility is really on that person that wants to be mentored, to go and search out that mentor and say, would you mind guiding me through? I know you have more years than I have, and would you help me here? Would you look over my situation? I really believe, and I read this in a book by a man that is a fabulous mentor, but he said it's really up to the understudy to pursue the mentor.
Yes.
And I don't see that happening very often today, and very honestly, to their defense, I don't see very many people that really qualified to be a mentor, to lead a younger person along in the ways of the spirit world particularly. And if you want that, first of all, you need to really develop a high word level, and that's up to you. And it's available to you. It's free. I mean, take your Bible and go for it. And tell the Lord what you want.
Yes.
And I believe that's so important, to be specific with the Lord, be focused, and go for it. Really push yourself. And when you see yourself slacking off and you're becoming lazy or developing some bad habits, crucify those with the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. Say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to be more disciplined in the Word of God, and He will meet you at the point of your passion.
Yes. About pursuing your mentor, when Elijah came by the field where Elisha was plowing with his oxen, he called to him, and Elisha left and ran after Elijah.
Right, exactly.
Now, he could have just looked at this prophet on the road and said, hi, how are you doing, and kept on going, kept on farming. But he said, please let me kiss my father and mother, then I will follow you. And Elijah said to him, what is that to me? He was saying, you know, you've got a choice here. And I'll tell you, for those of you listening and also for Darren and me, every day of our lives, we have choices to make. And if we make the wrong choice, God is merciful. Oh, we have such a merciful Father. He'll let you take the test over again. If you botch up again, you're going to take that test over again. And some of you have gone, like you say, Darren, around the loop so many times they've dug a rut in the road of their life. God wants us to make wise decisions. And as we grow in the Lord, and as Jesus sent Holy Spirit to be our teacher and teach us all things, He dwells within us. We have more than what Elisha even had. He had a human being to follow, but we have Holy Spirit inside of us,
exactly,
to call upon and to teach us these wonderful revelations.
Well, in Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus said in John, He says, I will send you Holy Spirit and He will lead you into all truth.
Yes.
Now, I believe that He meant exactly what He said, and when we decide that we want to know about more about the spirit world, you know, I think there's so much information on the natural world, Barbara, and on, you know, they get methodology, and they get churchology, and hymnody, and they get all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, folks, the action is in the spirit world. And I like what Paul Bilheimer said many, many years ago. He was an awesome man.
Destined for the throne,
the little book that he wrote, Biddy. He said, you know, the prayer is where the action is. And I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The action is where the words are. And when we realize what a tremendous dominion we have with our words, we'll get up and start straightening our mouth out, start speaking specifically, and be very focused. And we won't allow anything to divide that focus. But I like what you said about Elisha. He really pursued the older man.
He really did. And in the second chapter of 2 Kings, we find out that now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho, when they were standing opposite him at the Jordan, they saw that he was performing this same miracle of walking on dry land across the Jordan. So they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And from then on, they followed Elisha. But they went to Elisha and said, we need to find out where Elijah went. And Elisha knew where Elijah went, but he was human. We are all human. And so he said, okay, go see if you can find him. And, you know, he sent 50 men, and they searched 3 days and did not find him.
First of all, he resisted them. He said,
you won't
find him.
He did.
He said, you shall not send.
then he let them go. And they returned to him while he was staying at Jericho. Now, that's where one of the school of the prophets were. And he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? Then the men of the city said to Elisha, behold now, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful. That means it's barren, because there is no water, so nothing grows, or the water has poison in it, so nothing grows. And he said, bring me a new jar and put salt in it. So they brought it to him, and he went out to the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, thus says the Lord God, I love this. I have purified these waters. There shall not from there be death or unfruitfulness any longer. Praise God, or unbarrenness.
And you know, I know today in some water softeners in some areas of the country where they have really putrid water, the water softeners have a type of salt in them.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
I wonder if they found that revelation from the scripture here.
Well, they use salt.
And that's the way they soften the water.
Yes, that's right. And they use salt in their covenant making. So they knew that salt had a wonderful potency to it that was needed. It's a spiritual meaning as well.
Now, we're reading here in 2 Kings 2, and you know there's always some people standing around that like to see a lot of action. You know, they don't want to pay the price to understand why it's happening. But here are these young men. And it says, and he came up from there to Bethel, and as he was going by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him and said, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. Now, I really believe what they were saying is, we want to see you go up like Elijah went up.
Yes.
I believe that.
Yes.
When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two